Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have today with me Ann Baldwin. She's from Tucson, Arizona. I met her several years ago, and I was delighted to meet her because she's incredibly articulate, very dedicated to Reiki, and a scientist. So I have in my own backyard someone who's been doing studies in the scientific community about Reiki and its effect on people. So the first interview that I had with Anne was maybe 2.5 years ago, and she was doing a study then, and we talked about that and her studies on Reiki and what they were like. And now we're going to continue this story with her continued interest in Reiki and some of the things that she's been doing recently. So, Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, it's so wonderful to have you back. And, of course, for those listeners who haven't heard your other interview, and actually it was so long ago that it would be really nice for you to tell your Reiki story, like, how did you meet Reiki and what were your reactions and so on?
Okay. Well, I was working as a research scientist, as a professor in physiology at the University of Arizona. And I was working on rats and looking at inflammation, trying to find out about inflammation and how we can best treat it. And I needed to have a technician, a new technician. So I advertised for a technician and one came who seemed very good. So I hired her. And at that time, I'd never heard of Reiki or energy healing or anything like that. And my new technician had been trained in Reiki and she told me about it. And she was very persistent. At first, I wasn't interested in it, but she was so persistent. I said, okay, I'll try it. So she gave me Reiki and it felt quite pleasant. And then she said, I think you should learn it. So actually the whole lab went to her house. The whole lab.
That's amazing.
And then we were working on the rats and we found that they had become stressed by the noisy room they were in. And we wanted to find a way to make them less stressed. And so she said, let's try Reiki. Let's give Reiki to the rats. And we even got a grant from the National Institutes of Health to do that, to see if giving Reiki to the rats would make them less stressed. And we did the experiment, and we had a group of rats that received Reiki every day, a group of rats that didn't, and a group of rats that received what we called sham Reiki, where a student was just sitting in front of them pretending to do Reiki, but they hadn't been trained in Reiki. And we found that the rats that received Reiki did significantly better than the ones who didn't receive Reiki, and even the ones who received fake Reiki, much better, statistically significantly better. And we actually got that published. So that was very exciting, and that's really what got me into Reiki.
Now that is an unusual story. Wonderful. So what was your next study then? We're in your Reiki story. Sorry, I got carried away. So you took Reiki and you treated yourself and other people?
Yes. I mean, at first, even though I'd been attuned, I was still a bit skeptical about it. But gradually, things started happening that made me more and more convinced that Reiki was doing something. For example, one day I was at the stable because I have a horse, and one of my friends said, oh, my horse has got bug bites on her shoulder. And I said, oh, let me try Reiki. So I held my hands above the shoulder of the horse and we were looking, and I could see in front of my very eyes the bumps were disappearing. And I thought, I must be imagining it. It can't really be happening. And then my friend said, the bumps are going. So that was one of the big eye-openers that really showed me that Reiki was working. And it was a whole collection of things like that that made me gradually become more and more convinced that Reiki was working and that I should work with Reiki.
Uh-huh. So then what happened?
Well, then I did a big thing. I actually gave up my job, my tenure at the university, so that I could spend more time working with people. Rather than rats, I wanted to work with people and offer them Reiki. And at the same time, still do research, but also treat people. And that's what I did. I started my business, Mind Body Science, using Reiki and also biofeedback, so I could help people with pain, chronic pain, and stress, and other things.
And how has that gone for you?
It's really gone well. I really enjoy it because I'm a Reiki master, so I can attune people, and also I can give them Reiki sessions, and I can work with animals as well. Horses love Reiki, dogs. So it's great. And then at the same time, I've been doing research, and this time not research on rats, but actually research on people with Reiki.
Uh-huh. So tell us about that.
Okay, so one study that I just got published was, I had the question, what happens to Reiki practitioners when they do Reiki on themselves? What happens to their body? And everyone who does Reiki says, oh, when I do Reiki, I just feel so relaxed. And I do too. You just feel relaxed when you do Reiki on yourself. Well,
right.
Most people do, right?
Right.
So I thought, okay, when people do Reiki on themselves, then I would expect to see the heart rate go down, because that's what happens when you relax, the heart rate goes down. I would also expect, there's something called heart rate variability, which is how the heart rate changes with time. And if you're relaxed and healthy, even if you're just sitting still, your heart rate actually goes up and down quite a lot. And that's healthy. Yes, most people think that if you're healthy, it should stay exactly the same if you're just sitting. But that's not true. It's the opposite.
Really? How interesting.
And people who are stressed or anxious, their heart rate stays more the same. It doesn't show these waves of up and down.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Anyway, so I thought, well, if they're really relaxed, then their heart rate will go up and down more. And I was able to measure that. And the other thing was, when you're really relaxed, the blood flow increases in your feet and your hands. And I know when you give Reiki, even to yourself, often your hands get hot.
Right, right.
So I would think that the blood flow would be increasing in the hands when people got relaxed. Because if you relax, the blood vessels also relax and get bigger, so more blood can get into the hands. And I even have a machine that measures how much blood is going into the fingers. And it shows on a big screen, it shows in color the blood in the fingertips. So if there's a lot of blood, you can see a lot of red, a lot of orange. And if there's not much blood there, you can see mainly blue and green.
Wow, how interesting. That wasn't invented just for your practice, was it?
It seems like it should have been.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I think I'm probably the only person who ever bought one of those machines to do Reiki.
Right. Wow, that's incredible. So what was your study like? How many people did you measure and so on?
I had 35 Reiki masters who were in the study. And then I also had 35 people who hadn't done Reiki as control people.
Uh-huh.
And another group I had was another kind of control, but instead of doing nothing, so I had the Reiki group just sit there so I could measure baseline heart rate, measure baseline heart rate variability, and baseline blood in the fingers.
Uh-huh.
And then I asked them to just let the Reiki energy flow through them. So they were doing Reiki on themselves, sending Reiki to themselves. And so I made a measurement when they did that for 5 minutes. And then I asked them to just try and stop. And I mean, I learned then that not everyone can just stop doing Reiki.
No, that's true.
Okay, stop now. And they said, we can't stop. <That's going. laughs> But some people can stop. Actually, I can kind of turn on and off. It's interesting. Some people can and some people can't. So then I would measure at the end, you know, if they could turn it off. So I had three kinds of measurements. Baseline, when they were doing Reiki, and then when they tried to stop. And then the control people, I just had them baseline, and then I asked them just to look at a peaceful kind of picture with scenery on it, and then just baseline again. And then I had another group who I did baseline. These were not trained in Reiki. And then I asked them to imagine love flowing down their arms and through their fingertips. And then I did a measurement when they were doing that, and then a final measurement when they stopped doing that. So I had these three groups of people with measurements of on all of them. And what I found was not what I expected. So I expected, as I said, that the people, when they did Reiki, the Reiki practitioners, they would feel really relaxed when they did Reiki. And I expected that their heart rate would go down, the heart rate variability would go up, so it would go up and down, and more blood flow in the fingers. Well, their heart rate didn't change. If anything, it went up. So that was a surprise. And the heart rate variability didn't change either, stayed exactly the same. So both of those readings were saying, hey, their hearts are not relaxing when they do Reiki. But on the other hand, the blood flow in their fingers really did increase, increased by about 14% more.
Interesting. And what about the people who imagine love flowing through them?
You know what? They look just like the Reiki people. When they imagine love, these people, actually, I only measured the blood flow. I didn't measure the heart rate. But the love people, they showed an increase in blood flow in their hands, just the same as the Reiki people. And I thought that was fascinating. Just imagining love flowing through your fingers increases the blood flow.
Wow, that's amazing. Interesting.
Yeah. And then the other group, the control group, who had no experience in Reiki and were just asked to sit there and look at a picture, there was no change in those, no change in blood flow, no change in heart rate. So I was really, really amazed that the people doing Reiki didn't seem to be more relaxed with regards to their heart when they did Reiki. Because some other scientists have done studies on people, I think not Reiki, but maybe some other kind of energy healing. And they found that when they do the energy healing, their brain waves change into alpha brain waves. So alpha brain waves are the brain waves that your brain produces when you feel like you're meditating or relaxed. So on one hand, with Reiki practitioners or energy healers, brain waves, the brain relaxes and these alpha waves start happening, but the heart doesn't. So I don't know what to make of that.
Well, I just love this conundrum. You know, it's like this time in my classes where people say, but why did Reiki work this way? And I get to say, I don't know. And it's fascinating. I mean, I have some questions that come up. Like in when I didn't take the martial art Aikido, but a colleague of mine does use it as a communication. Some of the techniques and training exercises, he uses them for communication work. And like conflict resolution things. And so I've done a lot of exercises of Aikido, which is a Japanese martial art. And there is something called dead relaxation and something called alive relaxation. So alive relaxation is when you stand and you're relaxed, like your muscles are relaxed, but your attention and your body is working in a way that is very alive, you know, like I would imagine like Reiki. And then there's what he called dead relaxation, which is like when you're asleep, when you're totally, you know, unconscious in some way. So it would be interesting, I think, to see if there's something that goes on between this state of alive relaxation and dead relaxation. And there must be other meditative techniques or something that differentiate between the two.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Mindfulness. Mindfulness meditation, I think, is that kind of thing, alive relaxation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it'd be really, I mean, I'm fascinated by your results and, you know, would love to. So are you planning on another experiment, so on another study to take it one step further?
Yes, I would really like to make measurements on Reiki practitioners and people that they're working on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens to their brain waves and also to their heart, both the practitioner and the person receiving Reiki. If we could make simultaneous measurements on both of them, I think that would be really interesting.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
Especially now, you know, that you've done this one study.
And also other people have, a couple of other people have done measurements of heart rate and heart rate variability on people receiving Reiki, and they do find that the heart rate goes down and the heart rate variability goes up. So they do show the typical relaxation response of the heart, the people receiving it.
Ah, but they didn't measure the people giving it.
No, and I measured, but I didn't measure the people receiving it. So we need to put them together.
Yes, and yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. Well, that's exciting. That's really exciting. I mean, you know, I have to say that we had a great discussion the last time about why do research and so on. And what I love about your research, as I said then, was that it's not about proving that Reiki works or about proving why Reiki works, but just exploring how Reiki works. You know, and being able to understand that. And I find that really fascinating and a wonderful approach. So
yes.
Thank you very much for doing all this work. I think it's great.
Thank you. In fact, you said something that just came into my head just like a day or two ago about why I like doing science and Reiki.
Uh-huh.
And it's, as you said, it's not to prove anything. It's to learn more about Reiki so that we can do the best we can with it. We can find out what circumstances make it work the best. How can we really improve our skills as Reiki practitioners?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Great. Good. Well, I have a theory, and, you know, my theory is just born out of my own teaching, and that is that it's all about practice. You know, the more you practice, I don't want to use the word better, but the more facile you are in actually being sensitive to the energy of Reiki, and the more able you are to not have your own filters influence the treatment or influence what's happening with Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And I find, I don't know how you would do a study on that, but that would be also very interesting.
Yeah, I think it would be, once again, doing simultaneous measurements on the healer and the person being healed.
Uh-huh.
For example, when the healer really feels a surge of Reiki energy or something, they could report that, and then we could see what was happening to the person receiving the energy, maybe what was happening to their brain, what was happening to their heart.
That would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you've got a few studies to go. So that's wonderful. It keeps you alert and really out there. So you've been doing some work with a harpist at the university. Is that true? And what's that about?
Well, that is not about Reiki. It's
no?
But still, it's interesting. So maybe I'll tell you a little bit about
it. Yeah, you. I mean, that's fine.
So there's a professor of music at the university, Dr. Carol McLaughlin. She is a very well-known harp player. She goes all around the world playing her harp. And she has a group of 12 students, and they're called Harp Fusion. And all 12 of them play the harp at the same time. On the...
That must be fabulous.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, another thing that she does is that she feels that she can, when she's with a person who needs healing, she feels that she can play exactly the right frequencies and pitch and tone and melodies that they need to hear to help them heal. She just feels that.
Yes, I can believe that.
Tune into the frequencies, the healing frequencies. And so she got a study funded by a friend of hers, and she asked me if I would be part of it. And the study was to go to University Medical College, intensive care at the hospital, where people had had heart operations. And I would make measurements on them before they heard the harp. Then she would play the harp for 10 minutes to each person, and each person would have their own private harp concert, basically, just for them, tailored just to them. And then I would make measurements on the people afterwards. So I would measure, like, their heart rate, their blood pressure, their pain levels before and after. And then we had a control group who would not hear the harp. They just got the CD afterwards, but they didn't have the harp music.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're working on, to see, does playing the harp in that way, individually and individually tailored to each person, help them heal?
Wow. Well, on some non-experimental level, my answer is unequivocally yes, but it'll be very interesting to see what the results are.
And the other thing was that it didn't just affect the patients. It affected the whole ward.
Yes.
Because when we first went there, I felt like we were in the way. There were all these busy nurses and doctors and doing what they had to do for the patients. And I just felt we were in the way with this huge harp. And by the end, and they would just push past us and do what they had to do. By the end of the week, they were actually paying much more respect to us, and they were asking us before they went in if it would be okay, that kind of thing. And they also said how much they liked the music.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it was much more calm and peaceful in the whole ward.
Well, that I can totally believe. That's fabulous. So when will you be finished with this study?
I'm finishing tomorrow. I'm doing the last patients tomorrow, and then we have to do the data analysis.
Right.
And actually, tonight, we were interviewed for TV, and it's showing tonight.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that's really fabulous. And this is in the university hospitals?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I was thinking we could do the same experiment with Reiki. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, but very interesting. Because I find the same phenomena happening. You know, when I go in and I treat somebody for, you know, several days in a row, at the beginning, it's kind of like, oh, another visitor, or why don't you come back at some other more convenient time? And then eventually they just end up sort of saying, you know, sort of being more polite and respectful and going, well, you know, when are you going to finish your treatment? Shall I come back? Or, you know, and it's just really neat to see the change of energy and response.
Oh, so it happens with you too. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for many people who have done, you know, ongoing Reiki treatments for people in hospitals or hospices and stuff, I think that that's really a common experience. Yeah. And so it's really neat because I can imagine, I mean, I imagining a full-size harp being wheeled around the hospital, that's interesting in and of itself. Yeah. There was a woman that I know, not I know, but I had heard of in the 80s who was a harpist, and she did harp music for hospice when people were dying.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, again, a wonderful experience for those people. And I don't know if she did a study or not. Well, unfortunately, I can't remember her name. Have you heard of her?
No, I haven't. This is kind of new to me, this area.
Well, if I can, I think I might even have a CD of hers. I'll check it out and send you the name of the person.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else are you doing these days in the world of study?
Another study that I just finished, and I've almost finished the paper, which is really nice, was looking at people with problems with their shoulders. There are lots of people who have shoulder problems, some from injuries, some from arthritis, inflammation.
Uh-huh.
And so they have pain, and they also have a restriction in their movement. And so this study was actually not funded by any company to do with Reiki, but funded by a company called The Reconnection. And they do something called reconnective healing, which is another form of energy healing, but very different from Reiki.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So they wanted me to see if we could recruit people with shoulder problems and see what effect that reconnective healing had on the mobility of mm-hmm. the people's arms
mm-hmm.
and also the pain.
Right.
And then I said, well, I'll do it, but I think we should also test Reiki practitioners. So he paid for that too. Then we had the Reiki and the reconnective.
Good work.
And then we had physical therapists, because the standard treatment for that kind of problem is physical therapy. So we compared Reiki, reconnective healing, and physical therapy. We also had another group that had what I called fake healers, who would come in and just sort of wave their hands around. And then we had a fifth group who had no treatment. They just were just laying on the massage table without uh-huh. any person there. And so in the study, we didn't tell which group the people were in. We didn't tell them which group they were in, except, of course, the no treatment group knew they were in the no treatment group.
Uh-huh.
But the others didn't know if they were in the fake Reiki or the real Reiki or the reconnective healing. They didn't know.
Right.
And we had between 15 and 17 people in each group. So it was a big study, fairly big study.
Wow.
And so I would, first of all, videotape them. I would say, how high can you raise your arms? And so we asked them to raise their arms out to the side, like you're pointing to 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock on a clock.
Uh-huh.
Try and bring them up so they're over their head, like pointing to 12 o'clock, both arms.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to see how high they could get each arm up there.
Right.
Videotape, and later we could measure the angle that they could get their arms up to.
Uh-huh.
So I did, they would come in, I would measure how high they could get, or videotape them, and ask them how painful that was on a scale of 0 to 10.
Uh-huh.
Then they would go for their treatment, their 10-minute treatment of whichever group they are in. And then they would come back and I'd measure them again, so I could see if there was an improvement after the treatment. And so what do you think the results were?
Well, after your heart rate experiment, I'm not quite sure I can venture a guess. Well, I mean, you know, one would assume that they had more mobility and less pain.
Right. And that's true. So what we found was that if we just look at the mobility, the physical therapy, they showed an improvement, a significant improvement of 12 degrees. So if you think, if you have your arms out at 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock compared to when your arms are at 12 o'clock, that's 90 degrees.
Yes.
And so 12 degrees is a little bit, but it's still significant. So they were able to lift their arms 12 degrees higher up.
After 10 minutes of Reiki?
After 10 minutes of physical therapy.
Oh, physical therapy. Okay.
Yeah. After Reiki, they were able to move their arms 20 degrees higher.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's quite a lot. And this is just after 10 minutes of Reiki.
That's amazing.
Yeah. just the one time session, 10 minutes, and they could move on average 20 degrees higher.
That is amazing.
And the reconnective healers also about the same.
Wow, that's interesting. Is that a kind of passive kind of application like Reiki, or is that more active?
It's active. It's actually sensing the field and manipulating the field. And of course, the sham healing, the fake healing, they showed no change. And the no treatment showed no change. So I thought that was a really great result. It's showing that Reiki works even better than it. Well, statistically, it was no different from physical therapy, but 20 degrees is higher than 12 degrees, right?
Oh, absolutely. And
so
Reiki 8 degrees works for a person with a shoulder injury is massive.
Yes. So Reiki works just as well, if not better, than physical therapy, which is the standard treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just 10 minutes. So I was really happy with that. And then if we look at the pain, how much pain they felt when they were...
Oh, yeah. Well, what about that?
That was really interesting. Okay, so we're looking at the percentage of pain reduction. And remember, this is on a scale of 0 to 10. So
right.
I say, how much pain do you feel? And they may say, oh, I feel like a 6 out of 10 pain. And then after the treatment, oh, I feel like a 4 out of 10 pain.
Uh-huh.
It's percentage pain reduction.
Right.
And what we found was the physical therapy, the Reiki, the reconnective healing, and the fake healing, they all reduced the pain by about the same amount.
Fascinating.
And the no treatment had no effect. But in the fake healing was just as good as the Reiki.
That is incredible. The power of the mind, huh?
And in fact, I saw two or three people who had the fake healing, and they said to their fake healers, oh, you made such a difference. I know you're such a good healer.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And these were people who had no experience of energy healing whatsoever. One was an accountant, and the other one was a philosopher.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. Amazing. Well, that sets off a whole, I'm quiet because it sets off a whole nother series of questions for me about pain reduction.
Yep.
Yeah, doesn't it? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, and how it seems like pain is much more more of a psychological thing, a perception, rather than something like, how high can you raise your arms?
Right, exactly.
So the placebo effect is much more effective with pain than it is with something more mechanical like how
right.
high can you raise your arm.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm going to be thinking about these for a long time. I can't wait to your next series.
Yeah, I mean, the next experiment for that would be, but does it last?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, in talking about shoulders, I have this friend of mine who lives in the UK. And she's a Reiki master, and she fell and, we say broke her shoulder, but what did she really do? She did she actually break the ball of her shoulder? You know, the socket, the ball and socket joint, and
right.
she broke the ball into several pieces, and it was horrible, and they pinned it. And, of course, the pins worked out. That was even more horrible. Mm-hmm. And so she was in a lot of pain. And after a year, she came to the United States and had surgery in Seattle by a guy who evidently invented the surgery to repair this particular kind of injury. And she just went to the orthopedic clinic near Shrewsbury, and they did measurements and x-rays and all this stuff, and they said that even after 8 years that her shoulder is still improving, and they were just shocked by that.
Mm.
You know, like her range of motion, and different things that they measured. I'm not quite sure what. And she just attributes it to Reiki. And she does do some physiotherapy exercises, you know, stretches and so on to keep it mobile. But she just feels like it's the Reiki that has really helped her continue to heal over a long period of time.
Oh, that is really very hopeful that it heals over that long period and you can still improve.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there are several different people that I know. Like, there's this guy who lives in Canada who, I tell this story, he fell out of the air. He was hang gliding in Mexico and basically fell out of the air and crashed. And, you know, hang gliders, I mean, I think they crash every, you know, statistically, you have to crash every 3 years or something, or you're not really a hang glider. So he did that, but this was a really bad one. And he had a massive brain injury. And his wife is writing a book about their process of him. He was unconscious for several days. When he became conscious and they started to measure his function, he was like basically at ground zero. They taught him how to walk, how to, you know, do a lot of the mechanical exercises that he had, of course, done them automatically before. And he's still improving after about, I think it's been 12 or 13 years, markedly improving each year. And about 5 or 6 years ago, he was a carpenter all of his working life, and he couldn't be on ladders for a long time after his injury, obviously, once he recovered physically. And about, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, he started to go on ladders, and he's been working full-time over the last years in carpentry again, which is amazing.
Oh, that is.
I mean, and Chelsea says that, you know, they can just see his function in his brain, but also the function as it appears physically to just improve year by year by year. And the doctors told him, of course, that he would never do a lot of things, but that's not been true for him. So if you want the names and, you know, contact of these people, I'd be glad to give them to you if it perks anything for you.
Well, I think we hear all these stories, and it would be so good if we could have them written down somewhere, you know, put them on a website, and then you could go and look and find out all the things that Reiki can do.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And I've got a new website that's just going to be launched in the next couple of weeks. And that would be a wonderful thing to do.
Yes, because I'm actually part of a group called the Center for Reiki Research.
Right.
We go through all the literature, scientific literature, looking for studies on Reiki. Mm-hmm. And then we read them, we critique them, and then summarize them in terms that a non-scientist can understand. And we put them up on a website so that with science and Reiki, there are all the studies, summaries of all the studies that have ever been published up on this one website.
Uh-huh.
So great to have a similar thing, but instead of scientific studies, observations that people have made with Reiki healing. Mm-hmm. So you up for that?
Yeah, totally. I'm thrilled. I mean, that's a great idea. And I shall do it. Wonderful. I've got it written down now. So, let's see. What's next? How about your work with horses?
Well, my work with horses hasn't really progressed since I last spoke with you, I don't think. I have written a couple of proposals. I have lots of ideas of doing work with horses to find out more about these types of energy healing episodes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still trying to get funding.
Uh-huh.
But I have a meeting with somebody next month who is very interested. So hopefully next time we talk, I will have more to tell you about.
Uh-huh. But didn't I hear that you were working with the gal that wrote the book, The Tao of Equus?
Yes, that's right. In fact, Linda Kohanoff.
Yes.
And we have, she's part of it, of this study that we hope to get funded.
Would it be okay to talk a little bit about that? Because I think her work is fascinating. I'm just trying to eke out a little space in my schedule to go see her and actually some kind of a session with her or something.
Yes. So what we want to do is, we know that working with horses or being around horses makes people feel really great. And also it helps them with any psychological problems they might be having as well. Obviously, riding horses helps a lot with physical disabilities. There are lots of equine therapy centers around the world,
right,
where they help people with physical disabilities. But Linda works more with people, not exactly psychological problems, but people who want more insight into themselves. It's really self-discovery, and the horses can do that. Being with horses can really give you insights into yourself and relationships. And there are several exercises that we're going to look at that they use routinely with people who go to these to her center and also to the centers of a couple of other people in the project. And we want to see what happens to the people, what happens to their hearts when they're doing these exercises with the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And does it make them, just like the Reiki study I was talking about earlier, does it really make them feel that active relaxation? That's such a good state to be in. Does it make them feel that active relaxation? And also, we're going to give them questionnaires to fill in about how their emotions are changed, how their self-esteem is changed, that kind of thing. And then we will have some evidence that these special interactions with the horses do actually affect you physiologically and psychologically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Our question is, why does being with horses make you feel so good? And I have a story to tell that, and this is to do with Reiki, actually. A few months ago, my schedule was such that I was going to give someone a Reiki treatment, and I just had time to go and ride my horse beforehand. And I'd never done that before, given a Reiki treatment straight after riding my horse. So I rode my horse, I felt great, came back, and the person came, and I found that when I gave this person Reiki, it was a totally different experience from normal. Normally when I'm giving Reiki, I'm kind of feeling the field and feeling the energy going in.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then my mind will wander, and then I'll bring it back, and it wanders again, and I bring it back. This time, I was totally in the present the whole hour, and it was no effort. I was just there, and I think that's how the horses feel. I think they are in the present the whole time, and they're just there, and it's no effort.
Huh, that's very interesting. Beautiful.
And it really did seem to me to improve the whole experience of Reiki, and maybe even to make it more effective, I would guess.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So maybe horses can help Reiki practitioners be better.
Maybe so. Well, it's really interesting for me about horses, because, of course, I've been a part of many times of treating horses, and they seem to respond to Reiki really well, in fact, profoundly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing how, talk about dead relaxation. I mean, horses that have been treated by Reiki, sometimes you wonder if they're just not going to fall right over. Because they're, you can just see their whole body just relax and kind of droop. And it's amazing. And, I mean, that's been my experience and the experience of lots of other people. But this work that Linda does, she, as I understand it, kind of uses the horses as if they were the therapist.
Oh, yes, that's exactly right.
And so this whole study and this way of working with horses puts it in a kind of a turnaround. Do you know what I mean? And I would, it would be very interesting to do some work with her. I'm really glad that you're connected with her and, you know, have the time to do this.
Oh, right. Yes, I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really send you lots of good vibes to get funded because
I have a feeling that we're going to get funded.
Great. Well, how can you miss this sort of combination of horses, women, and emotions?
Mm-hmm.
Great. And I know that a lot of her students who learn this way of working with horses and humans do have Reiki themselves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about horses, I always get amused because they just show you when they've had enough.
Yes.
They'll love it for a while and then they'll say, okay, I've had enough, bye, and then they just walk off.
Exactly.
And I like that.
Yes.
And I had, I was doing Reiki to a horse that someone told me had an injured, one of his legs was injured and he was not working for a while. The vet said he had to rest. So I went to him. I didn't know which leg it was, but I felt the field of each leg. And one of the legs had this big bulge coming out at the hoof. The others were just following the line of the leg, but this one had a bulge. So I thought,
But it wasn't a physical bulge.
No,
energy
bulge.
Okay.
And so I thought, okay, this is probably the one that's injured. So I did Reiki on that leg, and I was kind of stooping at the side of the horse, and I did Reiki on the leg, and then I thought, oh, I'll do Reiki on the other legs too. So I did Reiki on those legs. Then I went back to the one with the bulge, and I felt it, and I didn't feel that bulge. The bulge had gone. But I thought, well, I'll just give it a little bit more just in case. And then when I was doing that, stooping down, giving Reiki once more to the leg, the horse put his nose down and he gently pushed me so I fell over. And then I went back up again and to the same leg and I felt the field again and the bulge had gone. And I did a little bit more Reiki and he did the same thing. He put his head down and pushed me over. And I'm sure that was him saying, okay, it's done now.
Right.
Because after that, I heard that the vet went and to see the horse the next day and said the horse could go back to work.
Wow. Beautiful.
So they really do know.
Well, you obviously have a very close relationship with horses, which is great, too.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. And they are very responsive and I think that all animals are, but horses somehow capture some of our, I mean, at least for me, I can really relate to them in a way. And I'm, you know, I think it's kind of an archetypical relationship. And then there's just my love of horses, but where did that come from? And then there's this interaction that you can have with horses. And I feel like because they're so much bigger than we are physically, there's something very compelling about the gentleness and the physical expression of caring that comes from horses to human beings.
Yeah, I think the size has something to do with it. Because I've often wondered, I mean, people love dogs, they love cats, but horses, they seem to have a different quality. Mm-hmm. With regards to, you know, interactions with humans where healing is concerned.
Yes. Yeah, fascinating. Well, this has been a wonderful, wonderful hour. Thank you very much and for your time and for sharing all your exciting happenings that are going on in your life. And I just want to check that I haven't passed up something without knowing it. So do you have something else under your sleeve or under your hand that you want to talk about before we say?
Well, I do have another study, but we don't have time for that. So let's leave that for next time.
Oh, but okay, you can't just leave it like that. So you need to give us a topic sentence.
Okay, so I'm a scientist and I'm curious. And so my question is, what exactly is this energy? Is it electromagnetic? That was my question. Is it electromagnetic? Uh-huh. And so that's the story there.
Okay. Well, listeners, to be continued. All right. Thank you very much, Anne. I really appreciate your time and energy.
Thank you. It was great.
Yeah. And thank you for the work that you're doing. It's fabulous. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.